Then all of that sort of stuff. What a titanic struggle it was for the season. It captured everyone's imagination. Joe versus Zach, and Zach came out on top. And Zach joins us. How are you, Zach?
Well, thank you.
Volandi's with a beard or not with a beard? What do you reckon?
Neither?
What's option C?
Neither.
How are you feeling after a tough season coming out on top?
Yeah, I feel exhausted, to be honest. It's been a long season. I've had the weight of expectation on my shoulders for quite a bit of time now. You know, every minute of every day, every decision I made was always going to count. Every time an owner and a trainer asked me for a ride, you've always got to, you know, think, is it the right one? Should I wait for a different one? So, you know, the pressure's on for the entirety of the season. It's not like you're just going for a derby or a cup, just one race, and you have the build up to it for a few weeks before, and then you drop off after it. So it's been a long season. It's one that I've enjoyed, but I must say I'm glad it's finally over.
Zach, it's interesting you say you're exhausted, which I'm absolutely sure you are. But I remember talking to you about a year or so ago, and you know, I asked you whether you would entertain coming back to Australia at one point, and you basically said, no, look, you know, it's such a great lifestyle over here. You know, we ride 2 days a week. I get to spend a lot of downtime with my family. And the point of the story was you were quite worried about the amount of racing in Australia and potentially a lot of Australian riders sort of getting burnt out and fatigued. I mean, is that, you know, looking from afar, is that still an issue? And I'm assuming that you're quite happy where you are for that very reason, I guess.
I think in Australia, yeah, it is still an issue. And I suppose now that we're at the end of the season, it's holiday time, of course I'm going to feel a little bit flat because it's all over. But you don't get that luxury in Australia. You know, I quickly realised when I come to Hong Kong how burnt out I was as a jockey in Australia from just the amount of travelling that you do, even for track work and barrier trials. It's every day. It's relentless. It's all over the place.
Even back in the old days when you were with Robert Smurden, you had a fatigue issue, didn't you?
Yeah, at that time I was probably not handling my weight that well. I was doing it the wrong way, as you do when you're young and inexperienced and trying to ride a little bit too light. And I was getting the better of me. Once I put my weight up a little bit more, things become a little bit easier. But that doesn't take away from the fact that the relentless drive of racing in Australia just day after day after day certainly takes its toll. And I notice a lot of the jockeys in Victoria, more so now than other parts of Australia, they set specific times of the year that they take off so that they can have that holiday and recharge and give their body a break. A lot of jockeys, unfortunately, don't have that luxury and they just got to keep banging on with what they do.
Yeah. Hey, how do you handle the superstardom over there? Hats Aitken was telling me a story about when Joe Moreira and Ryan Moore, before an international series, they were just having a little kick of a soccer ball in a little suburban park over there, and then before you knew it, there was 1,000 people or something because they were so famous, and then they asked for a tip and it had an effect on the betting pool. So with you, I know Joe's probably the glamour presence over there, despite you knocking him off, but how do you handle the being so well-known and all eyes on you when you go out over there?
Well, I've been here for 11 years now, so you get used to that type of thing. And to be honest, they're not too bad. They're usually pretty respectful. Although every day you walk down the street, there's definitely at least one or two people that will pull you up for a photo. And every time you go to a hotel or things like that, all the doormen will say hello and good luck. It's the same at restaurants and whatnot else. But it's not over the top. It's nice to know that you have that support. Of course, you'd rather them wanting a photo than wanting to kick you as you walk past, so it's a good problem to have.
Can you give us a bit of an insight into your, I suppose, working relationship with Joe? I mean, are you mates, not mates, get on, don't get on? I know there's a fierce rivalry there. Like, what, you know, how does that work? But you know, you're both striving for the same thing. Does it get a bit edgy at times, or are you good mates?
No, we've always got along very well. Joe and I sit next to each other at Shark Inn every Sunday, so we've had plenty of time to have a good talk about many things, and you know, outside of racing as well as in racing. We see each other every day at the track. We basically live in the same building. So we've had that sort of friendship off the track, but on the track, of course, it's very competitive. We're both going out there, and it's been quite a tactical battle between both of us. We've both always been aware of where the other jockey is in a race at all times. And, you know, you go out there, trying to not one-up each other, but trying to make sure you get on top of the other boat.
Talk about Marrera moving on and a few others in a sec. The landscape's going to be so much different next year, but just the volatility of the environment over there. We all know about Chris Muntz and now Nashawilla and so on, and the caution you have to have about who you talk to and when and where and monitoring and so on, and that the punters are so passionate over there. You mentioned that the doorman always says g'day, but have you ever copped any grief over there as well for getting rolled on a favourite from punters? Is it a bit volatile on a number of fronts over there?
I've been pretty lucky, actually. Sometimes on a race day, Joe or Douglas, when he was at his top, would get beat on a hot pot halfway through the day. The crowd would absolutely give it to them in the parade ring the next race, but fortunately I've escaped that. But walking around the streets and things like that, the trainees aren't confrontational like that. They'd rather bicker behind your back than say it to your face.
Oh, that's a good way to go. Hey, next season, now, I might be wrong about what, so Nash, you know, I don't think he's going to be a factor. Joe's moving on to Japan. Tommy Berry's coming home. Brett Prebble didn't get his contract renewed, so he'll be coming home. Was Olivia Pellier over there as well?
Olivia Deleuze was the other.
Sorry, Olivia Deleuze. I think was one of them. So he's not there as well. It's a big blow to the overall jockey ranks with all those jockeys not being there next season, isn't it?
Yeah, there's definitely a changing of the guard. We have two young jockeys from South Africa coming to join the roster as well, and there'll be another English jockey that will come and join us from mid-October. So that'll be three new spots, but no doubt they've got their eyes open and they'll be looking for someone else to come and join us as well.
That was fascinating, I think, what you said there, Zach, about really knowing where Joe was, in pretty much every race. Was it really at that extent that the battle between you two is so big, you're sort of, not so much you're obviously riding to win your horse, but you were very, very mindful of where he was in a race?
Well, the problem was most of the time he was on the favourite. If he was on the favourite, he was on the second favourite. So, you know, as a jockey, you need to be aware of where the favourite runners are in every race. And it just happened to be that he was always on one of them.
Hey, just before we let you go, you're losing so many megastars. When you look ahead to next season and the challenges you're going to have to win this premiership again, who do you think might be your biggest threats?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I'm not sure where it's going to come from at the moment. We do have a good group of great young riders here. The Jockey Club, let's not forget, go around the world and cherry-pick who they think are the best riders to be able to come and compete here. So it's not going to be a walk in the park. They can all ride. They come here with great CVs and, you know, most of them that are here can ride light. So once again, I'm going to be against the odds, trying to do it the hard way, having to ride at a higher, heavier weight than them. But, you know, Keaton's had a great season. Chad Schofield's had a great season. Neil Callan has done well. Sam Clipperton hasn't had much support this year. But, you know, next season he could get that support now that the door is open. So any one of those jockeys could put their hand up. But I think when the English jockey comes, he's probably going to be my biggest competitor. He can ride light. He's been here before and he's had some success. So I'm expecting him to do well.
What's his name, the English?
Well, the club hasn't released it, so I doubt they're going to let me release it. I'll let them put out the rules.
You're giving the invisible man a nice description anyway. Hey, Zach, well done. You might not be aware of it from up there, but down here, this Marrera Purton thing has been just a massive ongoing story and something for us to look forward to on the weekend. So thanks for giving us something to be really interested in, and congratulations. It's a massive feat to knock off Joe Marrera, so well done.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Zach Purton.